Today we have Steve Esposito with us. Steve is an accomplished executive with over 30 years working in mid-size and large corporations in the aerospace and defense industry. He's held roles as business unit director with Rockwell Collins and as vice president of business development for Telephonics Corporation. Steve has successfully built company revenue and market share by leading cross-functional domestic and international teams in the market definition, strategic planning, product startup, pursuits and capture, solution fielding, and long-term support. He has led business acquisitions, corporate integration, and divestitures. Steve supports professional development opportunities across business teams, and his organizations are reflected the diversity of the business environment we live in. Steve holds a business a bachelor's degree in communications from St. John's University and completed executive development programs at Wharton School of Business and Harvard University. Steve and his family currently reside in Atlanta, Georgia. And Steve, it's an absolute pleasure having you with us today.
Thanks, Russ. It's really great to speak to you again.
Well, Steve, it seems that the interviews that I've conducted with the other guests that we've had on our program have been, with regards to the military side, have typically been veterans returning and transitioning into the private sector. And so I'm really excited to talk to you today because I believe that you can provide our listeners insight from more of an employer's perspective. I know we covered your bio in your introduction, but could you provide us maybe with just a little glimpse of the types of companies you work for and maybe some of the roles and responsibilities that you assumed in those positions?
Sure. Companies like Rockwell Collins and Telephonics are high-tech organizations that design, develop, manufacture, field, and support advanced communication systems, navigation systems, and sensor systems that you find on commercial aircraft as well as lots of military platforms. Commercial aircraft like Boeing 747, military aircraft like a C-17, and then ground applications like satellite communication sites that you would see both here in the U.S., also internationally. My role has been to build and grow those businesses by engaging the right people, developing and communicating the goals that we're looking to achieve as an organization, providing them with the tools and resources that they need to be successful, and then steering, mentoring, and guiding them so that we can achieve those goals. I've worked with some pretty intelligent people and have developed some amazing products. We're successful when we connect those products with the end customers and see that their intended use in action is really doing what had been originally planned in the concept development phases for those programs. So it's really been an exciting activity that I've been involved in.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Steve, I'd like to maybe focus now on, we talked about returning vets and some of the struggles they face when they're trying to encounter or just regain a foothold in the employment marketplace. What do you maybe see as some of the problems that veterans are facing, possible solutions, that type of thing, resources that might be available, those types of things?
Sure. I think one of the bigger struggles that our returning military personnel have seen is how to transition their very specific skills that they've mastered during their military careers into an industry career. Understanding what opportunities are out there and how to develop the path to uncovering, tracking, and then ultimately getting that new career position is really a big challenge. When you consider the challenge that is faced by our returning military personnel in just getting reacclimated with their families, the change that's now in front of them to find a good job to support those families going forward is really daunting. And that's why I support the efforts of directional motivation, because it not only provides the tools and the techniques that returning vets can use, it also provides the support elements that are really critical to helping our returning military achieve that next step in their lives and set their path forward toward a long-term career.
I really appreciate that. And that is really the heart and passion behind directional motivation. If we can make a difference in some way, give a resource, a tool, that type of thing to make that transition easier, bridge the things or the issues that maybe veterans are dealing with, we've succeeded. And everything is devoted towards that effort. Steve, I know that in prior conversations with you, you'd mentioned maybe three types of employment scenarios that veterans maybe consider coming back. And can you share your thoughts on each of these? And what veterans may want to consider to better assist them in deciding the proper career path as they engage in this and their families as well.
In my experience, I've seen a few different scenarios. First has been those that are looking to continue to support the efforts of our warfighters and want to do that in a very specific way, such as redeploying into a support role side by side with our military teams. Many who are interested in doing this can become field service representatives. These jobs are typically managed through support contracts that are held by companies both large and small. Field service engineers deploy for typically a year's rotation and can work side by side with uniformed personnel. Companies like Boeing and General Dynamics, Rockwell Collins, and SAIC can hire and support large teams of field service representatives who are located throughout the world, in theater currently, but also in many other locations as well. There's good compensation that comes along as a deployed employee as well. Second, there are former military who want to stay stateside and be in a support role, but still have that mindset of being a direct participant in supporting our warfighters. Based on their background and experience, these people can move into roles as logistics and support personnel, staffing network operations centers, or even as program managers leading teams to build and deliver products, very similar to the type that I had engaged in my organization. Then there's former military personnel who are really looking to make a clean break and want to transition into another industry outside of defense. I had a recent conversation with a retired military officer who had a very strong background and experience coming off his military resume in leading teams and organizations, but was struggling to find the right path to transition that into a completely different role outside of the military. My answer to him was really make sure you do the right homework and get prepared. Using the directional motivation tools that and techniques like the tracking worksheets and the interview tips can help not only in preparation but in the execution phases as you work your way through that process. And a point that I think I would bring out really from personal experience as I've interviewed and hired many former military into these types of roles, there's always a few things that I'm looking for during the interview process. One is that the candidate has done some of that homework, that they know the company that that they're interviewing with, reviewing company websites, reading recent press releases about company activities gives you an opportunity to use them in your conversations, and then possibly engage that in and tie it back to a theme or a success story that you have had during your own career that can be utilized in helping you position yourself for that job in the company. Second, when I interview candidates, for example, with background and experience looking for a program management role, I'm always interested in understanding how that individual led a team toward a goal. I'm not looking for a candidate to tell me that he gave a direct order and it was followed. I'm interested in hearing how the individual explained the mission and the key objectives to his team and then did the appropriate follow-up to ensure the success of that team. If a former military candidate can demonstrate that capability to me, it goes a long way toward understanding how to manage a team, and that's a big point of emphasis that I would make toward that candidate in the interview process.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned that, Steve, because there's a tendency that I've found in working with military candidates in that transitioning period is they're very very proud, and they should be, of the accomplishments they've had in terms of the numbers of people that they've maybe managed or the amount of revenue that's been under their direction. And but I, one of the comments that I make, and I've got a book that's coming out in interviewing and teaching people how to interview, and one of the comments that I make in there, and I believe it's true, and I think that's what we're talking about here, is that, you know, facts tell, but stories sell. And, you know, facts tell people things about you, but they don't tell that interviewer who you are. And when you start to bring the stories in, they get a picture of who you are, how you managed, you know, how you got your people engaged, how you gave them a common vision, you know, the different things about the leadership that's involved. Would you agree with that?
I would agree completely. And it's exactly the thing that I look for in candidates that would be coming in to interview for roles that that I've had open in organizations. I want to hear how they engaged. I want to hear how they ran into adversity and solved those problems. Those are the things that help differentiate you, that help make you stand out from the crowd. And yes, you can find those success stories. And you may not think that they're relevant because they're military-related success stories, but they are if you can bring those key elements out in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they don't have to be extravagant stories. They can be very simple, but what it demonstrates to an employer is that you get it. You understand management. You understand the dynamics that have to go into leading a team of people, that type of thing, as opposed to the directive, the order type of scenario. You mentioned a little bit earlier, and I just made a note here, you mentioned a little bit about doing your homework. And I believe that is so incredibly important that individuals know the company that they're interviewing, know the culture of the company, or get a pretty good idea prior to going in, know what it is, the products that they produce, what their track record is, the history, and it's important, I think, too, as far as where they're headed, you know, in terms of R&D, are they coming out with new products? Is there a tendency or a trend that they're going towards? Knowing the industry trends, very important to be able to engage in a conversation such as that across from an interviewer. And it was really interesting in this book that I'm finishing. I tell the story about an individual that actually interviewed. And during the interview, they're about, oh, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes into the interview, and she goes, by the way, what do you guys produce? And they go, well, we're a brewery. She says, well, you know, I really don't engage in drinking, so I wouldn't have an interest. You know, and so just taking the time to research and find out what a company does is so key, because it shows your interest, it shows your desire, it makes you stand apart. It seems so simple, but it's incredibly, it's incredible when I deal with individuals, and I'll ask them, did you research the company? No, not yet. I always encourage people to think of it this way. Why should an employer engage their time in interviewing you if you don't take the time to find out about them?
I would agree. I've seen candidates come in, and they've read the job description, and that's it. And you can tell in the first 2 minutes of the conversation that this is not going to go very far. And that homework isn't difficult. There are so many resources out there to find information, not only on products, but on other activities that are happening across the company. What community activity they're involved with, how they are engaging with their customers. All of that is very easily found today on the web and can be used to help you sell yourself, because you're showing that you've done that work, that you have that knowledge, and that you truly are interested in this company.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many tools. You mentioned about the Internet. Yesterday I conducted an interview with an executive recruiter, and her claim to fame, and she's just a sweetheart of a person, just a great individual, and she shared with us yesterday, and it's going to be coming up on the site here within the next few days, how to use LinkedIn in an advanced search setting. And what you can learn from conducting that search is incredible about the background of an individual. What you look for many times, or what's can be very valuable when you're interviewing, is find the commonality that you have with that interviewer. So you may have gone through the same school. You may have been on the same field, so to speak. Who knows what the commonality is going to be? Somewhere around, you know, come from the hometown area and didn't even realize it. And it may never come up in that conversation if you hadn't done your research. And so this LinkedIn tool that she's providing, I think, would be very, very beneficial to veterans as they're looking to research companies, research the backgrounds of the individuals they're going to be speaking to, get an idea of the track record of success that the individuals had. It also gives a real good picture of where the company is headed. In that, they also talk about prospective interview questions that that company engages in, just a ton of information. And so I encourage our listeners today to use that resource. We're going to have it on our site, I would guess, within the next few days. And I think it would be very beneficial. One other point that you mentioned was with regards to field support, you know, for individuals when they're considering a career. And so many times when... and I've had it brought to my attention that, you know, if a person's looking to get with a contractor, that's going to be in a combat zone. That's not the case at all with the majority of individuals that entertain going to work for a contractor, a military contractor, that type of thing. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I can. While some of those roles put you in the theater of operation, very few of those put you in any type of role that you would be in near any of those higher combat areas. Typically, you would find field support personnel stationed in major cities or on operational bases or within a region. You probably find more field service personnel, for example, in the Kuwait area than you would in Afghanistan, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And so being in a region, allowing you to support programs, products, or networks that are out there that our military personnel are using today can provide you with that expertise and experience and not put you into that danger zone.
Sure, that harm's way type of scenario. For a person looking at a field support issue or a career, what are the things that they really need to consider? That you think is going to be probably, if there's maybe two or three things that would be the primary things that they should consider before engaging into a field support type of role?
If I was going to prioritize them, I'd say first, if you were looking for that type of role, you've got to be able to bring related military experience to that role.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to be trained to go and support that directly as you may be coming out of the military from something completely different. For example, you're not going to see somebody in logistics move in to be someone who is supporting satellite communication. Typically, someone who's come out of the signal school and has a communications background coming out of the military is more apt to turn and then take a role as a communication network field service engineer or a product maintenance and repair person with those types of systems if you have that direct experience. However, there are many other related type roles that you find, especially in the logistics and support area, that really require field service personnel who have a broader background. And that is where I think more of the general field service talent that's out there can be utilized. So it really has a couple of different areas of focus depending upon what you have done in your military career and how you can then turn that back around.
And it may seem kind of obvious, but yet I've engaged in conversations with individuals, and they really hadn't considered the thought of being away from their family for another 6 months or a year. And, you know, that needs to be factored in as well.
You know, that's true. In a couple of instances where I've had that conversation with folks who are looking to step into those field service roles, a lot of it comes back to how are they making that transition back to their families. And some have felt that they want to have the ability to get away for a while and still deploy for a while, maybe at shorter terms than what they had been doing. And it's going to help them transition back. There's a good compensation package that would come along with that. Certainly benefit packages come along with that. You still have the ability to get back and forth to your family as well. But it really is an individual thing, I think, and a personal decision that has to be made by that candidate along with that candidate's family. So you find both ends of the scale.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, Steve, I really have enjoyed our conversation. Are there some additional thoughts and maybe points of emphasis that maybe you'd like to share with our listeners as we wrap up our conversation here today?
I think the biggest thing that I would state to those that are out there in that market or will be in the job market coming back now from a military career is you're not doing this alone. There are a lot of support organizations, a lot of support activities, and a lot of help that you can get throughout this process. This is just one of them. Director of Motivation is just one, and it's a great one to help you set the path forward and follow the path that you need to execute to be successful. But don't think you're alone. It's a process. It can be an exciting process. Look at it as that next big challenge that you need to go and achieve, just like you had all the achievements in your military career, and you'll be very successful. I think that's the piece that I would add.
Cool. I'd probably even add to that a little bit. The networking piece is so important. You know, to wait, if individuals are going to wait for opportunities to come to them, that's probably not going to happen. You have to be very, very active in your search, and you have to utilize the tools available, just like we talked about directional motivation being one, but also the people and contacts they've had through their military life, very important, because you never know who knows who to get you in a door. And so it's very important to stay active in that process. Well, Steve, it's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. I hope that we could have you back again. And we would love to have you back again at another point.
I'd be happy to do that.
Our guest today has been Steve Esposito, and I really want to thank you, Steve, for your help with the Directional Motivation site, but probably more importantly, for making a difference in the lives of our veterans. I just applaud you for your passion, your desire to make a difference as well, and appreciate your efforts, and I know our veterans do. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.